Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes and all?
I have different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, B, the C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland's number one sports radio station, 1080 The Fan. No doubt about it, Dirt and Sprague on a Wednesday. At some point, we'll have to talk about Mike Golic. He's done at the end of the month.
Been on the air since 1998 on ESPN Radio. He also apparently offered to host the show with Mike Greenberg.
Yeah, they don't like each other. They got a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a Brady Belichick kind of thing. They were together for too long.
That's weird to me, though, because I don't know. Like, you and I have been hanging out for a while now.
It's almost a decade now.
But I think we'll dive into it, but okay. I don't know if there's been another host that kind of symbolizes my life around sports radio quite like him. Not that I'm the biggest Golic fan, I just...
Sure, he's one of the originals on ESPN.
Yeah, I remember first listening back in the late 90s, and to get to this point is pretty remarkable, but I kind of want to just gauge where the audience is, because we have long talked about, hey, college football, the difficulties they face, the NFL, the NBA with their bubble, the MLS bubble not off to a great start, Major League Baseball. I kind of want to know where fans are at right now. It seems that we could be 3 weeks away from having all these sports back and then about a month away from the NFL and maybe college football, but we'll get to that a little bit later on with what the Big Ten might be proposing. Mm-hmm. Do you think fans are they all in emotionally? Like, do you think most of our listeners right now, if you were to gauge it without looking at the fan text line, would you say, or would your best guess be that they're more in that sports is returning for sure, or they're still on the uncertainty / very doubtful it's going to finish or even happen?
I think the majority of people understand that there's a very high chance that these things don't end well, especially with the start that we're off to. Now, if we had been a week or two into the MLS and Major League Baseball and things were going swimmingly, there was no issues with testing, there were no players that were testing positive, there weren't teams that were dropping out, you didn't have Fire Fest kind of meals, like everything was going swimmingly
God,
the first weekend.
That?
It was not good, man. If that was the case, then I think people would be a lot more optimistic. But I'm not really sure how you are optimistic after seeing what we've seen, unless you just want to be a blind optimist, which, hey, more power to you. The one that I'm most confident in, and will continue to be so, is the NHL, because I think the NHL has a lot of things going for it. One, you're not traveling from city to city, so I think you're going to limit the amount of exposure that you're going to get to the virus. And it's also going to two cities in Canada that I'm not sure on their exact numbers in Edmonton and Toronto, but I know Canada as a whole is nowhere near the outbreak of the United States right now. So I think you're limiting the chances in your bubble cities to risk exposure to the virus. Now, they're going to have to get through, it sounds like, training camp starting in the next week or so. And then they're going to train in their respective cities, and they're all going to travel to Canada. So you have risk for the players to get it now, take it there. Like, it's not an easy scenario by any stretch of the imagination. But if there's one that I'm feeling most confident in pulling it off right now, it is the NHL. And baseball has had, like, their positive test numbers came out. They were just reported how many players in the first round of testing and in the second round of testing have tested positive. And it's pretty good so far. It's not an alarming number. But it you need to remember how big of a cluster hit has been to get the players tested and then get the results back. And there were delays for multiple clubs that had them cancel and shut down practices. And then there was a story, I don't know how many people saw this, about Joey Gallo of the Texas Rangers, who has not been allowed to practice yet because he tested positive before they started. And then you need, I believe, two negative tests.
That's the standard what most sports leagues are doing.
In like 24 hours in order to return. He tested negative. And then went to take another test, tested positive, and then went to take another test and tested negative. So he's taken two, like, swab tests and two of the other kind of tests, and two of them have been positive, two of them have been negative all in the last 10 days. And he's sitting there saying, I don't know what to do because I'm testing negative and positive at the same time. It makes no sense, and he hasn't returned to playing yet.
Well, Jokic is kind of in that similar situation. His team is about to fly to the bubble soon. He's not going to go. I think you're supposed to have two consecutive negative tests, and he had one and then not a second one. So there's other athletes. I think Gallo is one of many that are just going to be stuck dealing with weird circumstance. Now, these are almost deserving of their own segments, but I kind of want to lump them in because I think it speaks to trying to maybe set expectation properly, because I'm one that does believe the NBA will get going. Whether that finishes, I'm not all that optimistic on that part of it, but I think we'll have NBA basketball. The NHL is on its way. I do think Major League Baseball is going to happen. But let me just give you two stories. One you found, one I found. The first one is the one you found last night and said to me, the NFL is proposing that 35% of player salaries be held in escrow. Mm-hmm. 35% of their money is going to be held in escrow because the NFL
big chunk
wants to make sure they can cover their costs for 2020.
And they're not dealing with the same thing baseball did in terms of a shortened season. Shortened preseason so far, but they still want to play 16 regular season games. Baseball, they said that going for it, where not only do you not have fans, but we're playing like a half or less than a half of a season. Football's not in that same category.
So you're going to ask players to put themselves in probably is the most vulnerable position in sports, contact sport. Every week, travel in front of no fans, probably quarantine, be advised to stay away from large family gatherings during the season or until this thing is maybe held under control. And then you're going to cut their salaries by 35%. Well, you're not going to cut them, but you're going to hold 35% of their money because your $15 billion a year league can't afford it. Okay. I'm sure that's going to go over well with the players union. And then there's this in Major League Baseball. I saw this last night from my old friend Jabari Young. MLB testing woes. Get this headline. Major League Baseball, they had COVID-19 testing hitting a snag because FedEx did not operate over the holiday weekend.
They did not realize it was the 4th of July. So
they're missing a lot of their tests because FedEx didn't deliver them. This is just, it feels like one of many examples you could point to and just say, we can't even properly have consistent testing.
How do you not think that through? It's the 4th of July. How is that not a part of your thought process in bringing this back? How has the MLS bungled it this bad? How is the have we looked into what's happening to the WNBA right now?
The WNBA is weird.
Yikes. And then how do you have an example? And to my knowledge, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but to my knowledge, the Women's Soccer League, outside of Orlando going to a bar and partying and catching it and then getting booted from the tournament, they've had no issues.
None.
No, once I have not heard of once they got them all to Utah. And that's why I think
some of their best players also aren't playing.
Sure,
but
you haven't had an outbreak in the camp. Like, games are going on. There's been no issues there.
I think it's kind of what this virus is, right? It's weird. It's unpredictable.
I think the NBA and the NHL, if they can get the bulk of their teams and players to those bubbles and get them in, once they do that, then barring something really strange or off the wall, but if they get it, and they keep and everybody follows the rules as best as they can once they get there. And if the leagues are strict and if they hear of somebody going outside the bubble, they're booted. They're not coming back in. Yeah. If they will stick to that, then I think those two leagues will definitely conclude their playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hard part's just getting them there and get started.
Sure.
If they get started,
and not having it spread through the camp,
baseball, I have no confidence in whatsoever.
Baseball, you know, I'll say this. I think of the leagues that are coming back, and I this is one of those you hope to be wrong because you want baseball. It feels like baseball is doing what they can to lean into the cancellation, more so to me than playing. They already didn't want to play any games. The owners don't want to play games.
Yeah.
It's going to it's going to cost them money. That's what they say. So they didn't negotiate in good faith. I hope they lose their grievance and get destroyed. Mm-hmm. But this reeks of me, it reeks to me of Major League Baseball kind of siding more on the we're not actually going to make this happen idea.
Why send tests over the 4th of July? We're not even going to play.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty obvious thing to take into account. Yeah. Oh, it's 4th of July. It's there won't be deliveries. Weekend. And yet they still tried to do it.
Yeah. The PGA Tour now has been going for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there
We've
was
a couple here or there.
There was 2 weeks. It was pretty clean. Then 2 weeks in at the Travelers, they're kind of like, okay, what's going on? But I think the commissioner came out. He had some strong words. Some of the other players said, guys need to absolutely be serious if we want to keep this going. And for the PGA Tour, those guys don't make any money unless they're playing and make cuts. They don't have contracts to fall back on other than the top players with some endorsement deals. But they know they got to play to have opportunities. So, and I think since then, they've kind of closed quarters and taken everything seriously. So I think the biggest hurdle is just getting started.
Yeah.
If they can get started, then they'll go. And I think that's the same way for college football. The problem with college football is you don't have a centralized decision-making
party. You don't have one person that can step up and unite these different conferences and come to a conclusion and agreement. Conferences are kind of going out on their own, which is something we can get to with the Big Ten. Yeah. I want to go more on this, read some thoughts at the fan text line. Our sports fans, where is your confidence at that it's happening, that we're going to have all these sports, they're going to stay playing, they're going to finish their seasons, have their seasons, et cetera. I want to cite something from Dame that he said just a couple days ago, and then something else from a prominent coach that isn't all that encouraging. So we'll talk more about this. You can share your feelings. Are you all in? You think sports are coming back? Or are you pretty nervous and don't have much faith that it's going to happen? We'll read some thoughts there, talk about this some more. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Thrill is gone, baby. All right, we got some news involving fall sports. One conference of particular interest to Pac-12 fans. So we'll give you the lowdown on that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Damian Lillard, I can't remember who he was talking to, so apologies. And if you guys know, feel free to correct it. But I think he was either doing a Zoom call with everybody or he was doing an interview. He basically was just like, people have free choices now to go do what they want, and we're not making the right choices. He's not confident that going to the bubble means players are going to truly stay away from each other and do what they can to not put themselves in a position to test positive. He says he's going to stay there the entire time. Like, no matter how far they go or how short it is, he's going to have recording equipment. He's got everything you could need in a probably a pretty nice suite. And he's not going to leave. He's going to go to and from practice games, and that's it. He's going to stay in his room. He's not confident the other players in the league are going to do that. Jim Harbaugh had this to say on moving forward with plans for fall football season. Quote, COVID is part of our society. It wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. There's no expert view right now that I'm aware of that sports is going to make that worse.
Now, to be fair to Harbaugh, there was a larger quote around it that put it a little bit better in context.
Yeah.
You read that and you're like, wait, what? Huh? That's not a good look.
Yeah, Austin Meek, who used to work in Eugene, he moved back to his home state, but he covers Michigan. He clarified, he says he doesn't think Harbaugh has shown that he's like a, you know, like a anti-vaxxer, he's not a COVID truther. He's not one of those individuals. Harbaugh's thinking is just that he thinks we can get through and have a season.
Yeah, he's trying to COVID. Right, that it's safe for the athletes to be on campus because they can keep an eye on them and make them follow protocols, and that it's a part of society. So whether they're playing football or not, there's going to be a chance that they can catch it, and there is some validity to that because it is a part of society.
Well, I was hanging out yesterday, and you sent me a text, and then I started just thinking about it, and I'm like, God, sports is back in like 2-3 weeks. My life is going to be watching all these games again.
Yeah,
but then I was also like, is it though? Where's your confidence, Sprague? Yeah, I thought maybe other listeners are with me, or maybe everybody's all in and thinks, yeah, the sports are just going to plow ahead because there's billions and millions of dollars on the line. And who cares who gets COVID? And who cares who has bad symptoms? Who cares if Freddie Freeman got severely injured or damaged from it? Doesn't matter. We're playing screw COVID.
It's really tough because you go back and forth, right? You'll see a news story that gets you excited. Like there was one that came out about the NHL's model today that got me jacked up. They're planning on playing games essentially all day, like counteracting between the two cities. So there's going to be hockey on from like noon to 10 p.m. every single day, which I am here for 100%, and it would be awesome. And then you read other stories. It's like, oh, God, are they actually going to be able to pull it off? Baseball's been the same way. Hey, the schedule's released. Who's playing when? And what's it look like? What matchups do you have? And then you see some of the stuff about Joey Gallo and the delayed testing, and you're reminded, oh, God, there's a chance this doesn't happen. On the Damian Lillard note, I'm glad that he brought that up. And Swag mentioned the PGA Tour in the last segment. That was a big thing that they had to highlight of, like, and I've been arguing this for weeks. Like, if you want sports back, it comes down to personal responsibility. And that's why I have the biggest fear and absolutely zero confidence you're going to be able to pull off a college football season, because you're dealing with kids that aren't professional athletes. You're dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are going to be back on college campuses that are in some states opened up with bars and restaurants to go to. And you're going to tell me that all those kids are going to be responsible? Like, you can do everything you want inside the locker room, space them out, do everything right at practice, do all the testing. What's going to keep them from going out on a thirsty Thursday or a Friday night, going out on a date and hanging out with a kid, right? Like, nothing's going to keep them from doing that.
But I think we're already seeing which teams, you know, we saw the Clemsons and some of the other schools where, you know, 20-30% of the roster was testing positive. Notre Dame hasn't had, I don't believe, a football player.
Not one.
USC's had one. Tulane just announced they don't have one.
Which, again, highlights the other part of the problem, though, is you're dealing with 35 different states, 35 different jurisdictions, different mayors, different counties, different protocols.
Yeah, different leadership everywhere.
Well, I think you're going to find out what programs where there really is a true buy-in, and as well as the coach-player relationship, not just, okay, who can do X's and O's and get guys ready to perform, but where the coaches are totally all in involved with the players, not just when they have them for practice and games, but are there to support them in their entire collegiate lifestyle. And I think, you know, if programs can, you know, weather this, and if they get the buy-in and the players say, yep, we understand this is going to be a big sacrifice in order to play, we are prepared, you educate them, they understand what's at stake, what they got to do, and they do it, and they can manage to get out there when it comes recruiting time the following, when we come out of this eventually someday. It's going to be kind of earth shifting.
Well, the PGA had to tell their players, knock it off, take it seriously. And the last 2 weeks, I think, have gone pretty well for them, and players have listened to that message.
NASCAR just sent out a thing. They've told their pit crews, don't ease up on these
COVID-19.
You
got
to stay with your mask and everything.
And I'm right there with people. I'd love to go to a bar with some buddies right now. I'd love to go sit in a full restaurant, eat some great food, and have a good... I would love nothing more than to do that. But
I had a drink last night at a place.
Right? And like, people are doing it as long as it's safe and you're socially distancing, mm-hmm. and you don't have as much on the line as an NBA player does. You know, you're not in a bubble that can infect an entire league.
I also wasn't sitting next to anybody but the people I was with.
Well, and that's why I love Damian Lillard with that thought of like, man, I'm here to play basketball. I'm not here to socialize. I'm not here to go out and party. I'm not here to see the town in Orlando. Cases aren't good outside of this bubble. Hell, they're not good in the bubble right now with what's going on with the MLS. I'm playing basketball. I'm going back to my room. I'm playing basketball. That's going to be my routine. And it's okay to have that be your routine for a couple of months. Eventually, we will get through this and things will get back to normal.
10% NFL and college football makes it through the season unscathed. Give me Jazz hands if you're with me. That jazz was one listener's thought.
I have a higher optimism for the NFL than I do for college.
Yeah, NFL.
It's the NFL. Yeah,
because they can. Well, one, the players have a voice. So if they don't think things are going to be safer, they'll say so. Like I said, if the NFL starts, they'll finish unless there's a total meltdown across the country with everything.
There could end up being...
Well, they picked the wrong state to bubble in. I'll say that.
Yeah, not good. Go to Montana.
Yeah, we picked... They picked the state that had the cojones to act like they were above all this.
Yeah, not a great idea.
Their leadership has been horrific and idiotic, and now they're really dealing with the circumstances of that, and now all these sports teams have to go there because this was the originator. Disney campus is huge. Everything's been worked out. You can't change that now. Now you are bubbled into Orlando, but all the surrounding areas around Orlando are popping up more and more with positive tests.
Yeah, I firmly believe that the landscape this summer could end up being like a Lord of the Flies survivor kind of thing. And whichever one is able to survive the longest.
That's an asterisk then. That's what's unfortunate about it.
No, I'm not saying it's an asterisk. I'm saying I think whatever sport that is going to benefit greatly.
Right?
The sport. Let's say the NHL is the only sport that figures it out and they play their entire thing through October. Imagine if that's it.
I'm watching
the
NBA all the games.
Collapses and Major League Baseball collapses and the MLS can't finish and we don't know about football. Things are getting delayed. Like, dude, they're going to reap the best. Whoever does it right and can finish their season is going to get a huge boom from it.
I think the NBA, once the players get in, if they think there's funny stuff going on, they will just amp up security to keep whatever out. But I think, again, once they all get them there, then I think they're going to be able to do it.
Well, I thought you were not saying sport. I thought you were just talking about if leagues, like if and look, I felt really strongly about saying that if the NBA plays, there's not an asterisk next to the champion. Some players think, or Doc and Giannis were two people who said this could be the hardest title you could have to win. But if you get to a point where like six of your teams basically can't go with their key guys, that's when you get into asterisk territory. Because yes, they'll be the champion, but all of us will go, well, yeah, but the Bucks couldn't play, and the Lakers, and the Clippers.
I'm all for it if it means a Blazer title, baby.
God, wouldn't that be weird?
I had a dream last night the Giants won the World Series because everybody else got COVID.
Let me ask you this. I don't want to, we don't have to shift into this, but let me ask you quick. If all of that happened and we won the title, would it feel like we won the title to people here?
I'd wreck the hell out of that. No, I mean, it wouldn't be a normal
title. No, it wouldn't be a normal
title. You wouldn't go to any of the games. You probably wouldn't do a parade.
You're not having a parade. But at the same point,
all the good teams were knocked out with COVID, not because you beat them.
You're not apologizing for it. You're a two-time NBA champion franchise.
I'll say, I think you take it. But if you're being honest, there's got to be a part of that being feeling hollow, right? Not like you earned it.
Just weird.
It's more like kind of given.
Not hollow. I'd take it.
I think you still earn it.
I ain't complaining.
It was odd.
I think you guys are going to feel different if this really happens. I think you're going, this isn't what I thought it would feel like watching the team I've rooted for my whole life win a championship.
If they accidentally sent you two stimulus checks, an extra $1,200, are you cashing it or are you returning it?
I'm putting in the bank account.
Taking it, baby. Let's go.
But
not my fault. This ain't my problem.
Make no mistake. I'll say I almost have $3,000 because the government just gave me money for being alive during COVID. I mean, I'd take the money. I'm not saying you wouldn't rep it.
I'm just repping it.
I don't know if you would feel as excited watching them win.
I mean, of course not.
In those circumstances.
Of course not, because we wouldn't have the chance to go to a game.
You wouldn't be able to see it at all.
You wouldn't be able to watch it. There's a whole difference there of getting to the finals and having a chance to watch it in person. But
God, that's almost a good poll question.
It's been 43 years, man. 43 years!
How would you form that to make it a good poll question? What would you say? What would the structure of that question be?
Would you feel the same amount of pride if the Blazers won a pandemic title as a normal title? That's an obvious no.
See, but that's tough because we're going explicitly in the if like six great teams get knocked out from COVID. So it kind of just like the path opens up for you.
And I would argue Toronto won because of COVID injuries last year. So what's the difference, Bob?
COVID injuries?
I'm just saying they've won because of injuries. So what's the difference between COVID and injuries?
Well, it feels different when you go through the entire conference that's healthy enough to play, and then you actually get to the title, and the other team just couldn't stay healthy. That's a difference there.
I'm repping that trophy.
Okay. No judgment.
I'm going to go buy my replica ring.
You're going to be the guy that actually wears it every day, too. All right. We got more fall sports news here from the Ivy League. Swag's probably going to give you the update on that, and we'll give you an update of what's going on. Oregon's got a big non-conference. Washington's got a big non-conference. What's going on with the Big Ten? We'll give you the latest on that next.
Hey, welcome back at 1:34. Got some big fall news to get to. Kind of a twofold thing. We can wrap these in the next half hour. By the way, Stuart Mandel going to join us top of the hour. We'll close out the show with some fun. There was a stolen car that crashed into another stolen car.
I saw it's an Oregon story.
Yeah, and then somebody left some poo stains on a bed, and we need to get to that. So it's going to be a busy final hour starter story as well. Let's start with the Big Ten, though, before we get to the Ivy League. This came out. I had a buddy text me this morning and said, kind of keep an eye on this. And then it was rumored, and here was the latest about an hour ago, tweeted out, per a Power 5 head coach, the Big Ten this upcoming season is close to announcing they are going to play a 10-game schedule in 13 weeks against only Big Ten opponents. There's a quote in there saying from the source saying, nothing has been decided, nothing's official, but I would be surprised if that's not the case. what that would mean. No Ohio State, Oregon, no Washington, Michigan. I don't know if there are others involved between the Big Ten and Pac-12. Yeah,
there might be. Who knows?
Yeah, the none that popped to the top of my mind. But Big Ten looking like they could be the first to announce what their schedule is going to look like. And according to these sources, it'll be a 10-game schedule, only conference, and they'll do it in a course of 13 weeks to give themselves some chances to make up games.
Well, I think this is going to be one of many announcements to come based on what we're seeing right now. Not necessarily what the Ivy League decided to do, but more so what Ohio State and what the Big Ten is going to do of just saying, you know what, scrap non-conference this year. Clearly Ohio State, Oregon is going to be moved to later dates. They'll have to figure that out. And if they have two really hard non-conference games each, they're going to have to deal with that. That's what the circumstances have dealt them. This was an idea I remember talking about within the conference of, do you just play a conference schedule? You limit travel. You know, I hope that they can even do that. I'm starting more and more every day based on what I'm seeing and reading to fall into the, can we just wait till after January camp on football? I hope we can play in the fall, but it's kind of tough to see that happening. I think a lot of conferences are going to end up announcing this kind of arrangement of just saying, look, yeah, no non-conference, we're strictly having a conference schedule, which is going to be odd because you've got conferences that don't play the same amount of conference games.
Yeah, how many do each of them play?
I think the Big Ten is 8 again. They were 9, and then I think they, are they still 9?
But even
no, they're 9. It was the ACC that had a vote to go to 9, and the SEC wasn't, so they stayed at 8.
The SEC will never move from 8.
Yeah, they're never going to move.
So, no, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the Big 10 are all at 9.
Gotcha. I think the question there, too, is if you schedule a conference-only season, do they all schedule the same number of games?
You have to.
Because this source would say 10 games. Yes. What if the Pac-12 says we only want to play 9?
Right.
Right, or whenever the SEC comes out and says, we're just going to play an 8-game schedule of only SEC opponents.
Well, let me ask you this. This is hypothetical.
Well, the Big 12 can only play 9.
They can only play 9 because there's only 10 teams in the Big 12.
Let's say these conferences decide to play the same amount of games. Let's just, for hypothetical stance, say they go to 10. Right? And the Big 12 will figure it out. They just play the same team twice or
go
something.
Go round robin back to back.
Yeah, something.
Doubleheader.
Well, they could have the whole final week be a seeded thing. So one plays two, three plays four, five plays six.
That could be the case.
Do that.
Would it be smart for the conference? Because we've been on the other side of this. What if the Pac-12 was the lone conference that said, F off, we're playing our 9. We're not playing 10. And you make the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12.
One more.
Yeah. Why not? Every other the SEC and the ACC play by those rules. They don't play by our rules.
I'm right there
Screw
with
them. They can shove their 10-game season where the sun don't shine. I know it's about money, and they're not going to want to miss out on that game. I get that. But there's a part of this of also weigh what your options could be. Are you better suited as a conference to play 9 and get a team in the playoff, whereas other conferences get more benefit of the doubt? They play 10, they still get in the playoff. You know, if Alabama were to lose 2 games, there's almost no doubt they're going to get picked to be in the playoff. If Oregon loses 2 games, they're battling with Baylor, Oklahoma, Virginia, whoever the hell it is in those other conferences to even be considered for a playoff spot. So if we've been playing behind kind of the eight ball the whole time, why not make them do it?
I'm right there with you. It'll never happen, but I'm right there with you, and I'd love to see that level of petty from the
Pac-12. It would be great. We need to be petty.
Go down to eight.
Yeah.
Cut the conference schedule down
this year. 1 year, you cut it down is the year everybody moves it up. I love that idea.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, the Big Ten, this, again, is not an official announcement, but just sources are speculating, and I've heard from some folks over there that say this is likely going to be announced soon. 10-game schedule, 13 weeks. So you give yourself breathers throughout the season, potentially to reschedule a game if one has to get canceled for the virus, right? Like you're giving yourself some wiggle room there. And I think every conference will eventually follow suit. And it should also be noted, if you move it to the spring, this could end up being a scenario as well. Like even if you move to the season of the spring, you might end up playing an only conference schedule, which sucks for Washington fan and Oregon fan that come to mind because Michigan and Ohio State were coming to town. But you got to think the powers that be, if that happens, will get together, put their brains and say,
yeah, what good is it for come out here if nobody can go?
Exactly. It was going to suck anyways to watch that game on TV with no fans being allowed in the building. You say, hey, let's boot off some random team on a non-conference late in like 2 years and you just make a return trip.
Yeah, you can buy out an FCS team or a group of five team.
Hell, who knows if these programs will even exist in 5 years based on the direction of financials and colleges,
I
right?
Know.
So that was pretty big news. If this ends up being true, there will be no Washington-Michigan game. There will be no Oregon and Ohio State game. And it's the Big Ten making that decision before the Pac-12 even had the chance to.
I still think the Ivy League is leading the way. They're going to do it again. They did it in basketball. They're clearly aiming to do that in football now, of deciding to say, we're not talking about fall sports. We'll talk after January on that topic.
Well, let's get to that. That was the other bit of news today. As the language in these is always funny and confusing.
Well, this is Rothstein's fault. This is nobody else's fault his.
So it also So here, John Rothstein tweeted out, the Ivy League programs have been informed that fall sports have been canceled. The conference will not entertain any sports being played until after January 1st. Winter sports will have an update in mid-July on their respective practice schedules. So it's not technically canceled.
Well, okay,
but it's not firmly scheduled.
But there's two ways you can read that. You can read that as they're punting on fall till after January, or they have canceled and they're not going to talk about team sports until next year.
And that's not the case. Their statement was, or another Dana O'Neill, somebody else had a thing that said they are hopeful that they can move their fall sports to the spring.
Then it's not, it's postponed. Right,
that is their ultimate goal. So nothing has been officially canceled yet. But none of the postponements have been scheduled yet,
right,
if that makes any sense. But I talked about this on Monday when you're out. We brought it up yesterday. The Ivy League was the conference that led the charge in March Madness. They said, we're not playing. Everybody made fun of them for 2 days. And then 4 days later, every sports entity in America had been shut down and canceled or postponed. And a lot of them still are to this date over 4 months later. That's the huge looming elephant in the room question is the Ivy League the tip of the iceberg again, or are they the lone actor because they're not as financially there's not as much financials on the line, I guess you would say, as there are in Power Five conferences.
Well, I'll tell you right now, as a resident moron of planet Earth, if I see a group of extremely smart human beings deciding to do something, chances are I'm following the group. So we can make fun of the Ivy League in basketball. We can talk about how they're not a Power Five conference. If they're deciding that it's not worth it, it's too much to try to figure out, it's kind of complicated, you can't travel as easily as you think you can, then I'm in. And I hate to admit that, but I just think that means you're just delaying. You know, it's no different than being in a weather delay. You want to play baseball, you want to play football, guess what? There's lightning 2 miles away. We got to wait. You got to wait sometimes an hour. Remember the Husky-Cal game?
Yeah.
Didn't start till 10:45 at night.
Yeah, finish it like 2 in the morning.
They had to wait 3 hours and 40 minutes because of a massive thunder lightning storm. We all waited, and we all stayed up and watched that game. And we saw an upset. It ended up being a decent little football game. But that's kind of what fall sports is turning into. I hope that they can figure this out, but when the Ivy League does something, I think everybody takes notice. Even if you don't respect their sports teams on the same level as Clemson or anybody else.
Yeah, of course not.
When the smartest human beings in the world are deciding to wait, chances are I think everybody else is going to end up kind of following that pattern.
Yeah, let's continue with this on the other side. Your thoughts are welcome. Fan text lines 503-250-1080. That's how you can interact with us the entire show. Big Ten rumored to be looking at a 10-game conference-only schedule over the course of 13 weeks. How long until we see them announce that, and how long until the Pac-12 and other conferences potentially follow suit? And then the Ivy League announcing that all of their fall sports officially are off, and they are hopeful that those sports could be moved to the spring. We'll get to that. Crunch time coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. The Beaverton, Aloha, and Division locations all back up and running. They got great deals running through July 14th. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Feels great, baby.
Getting a workout on. It did feel good. I got to play golf after the show. I hope I got some spring left in my legs.
I was pissed, man. I wanted to get a run in. That's Weasel screwed everything up.
Come on, Weasel. Yeah, we opened the show with a Weasel story today. If you want to go check the podcast, you can.
I got attacked.
At 1080thefan.com. Sprague's going to get murdered by a Weasel tonight. So we'll just keep an eye on that one. That should be a lead topic for tomorrow's show. Stuart Mandel's going to join us, top of the hour, national college football writer. Very timely to have him on, as he's sending out some good points on Twitter as we speak. There's a lot going on right now with college football trying to figure this all out. And there's differing stances on it. You know, I get the argument. Look, the Ivy League doesn't have any financial loss by moving a season, right? In fact, they're probably going to save money because I think they all lose money on football. So this is a very simple decision for them to be able to make, and it's much more complicated for other institutions to have to make that in the Pac-12, SEC, right? Power Five kind of schools.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Stuart Mandel, we'll talk to him coming up. I don't want to get too far ahead of the story here, but he sent out a great tweet, I thought, 5 minutes ago saying this. The next few weeks may devolve into a battle of optics for Power Five. If more FCS leagues make the same decision as the Ivy League, the more it will appear, fairly or not, that the Power Five is putting money above health and safety. Can its school presidents tolerate that perception? And I thought that was a great point.
It's a good point. The only thing I'd say to it is, haven't we already reached that conclusion? That by making these kids come back and work out and be on college campuses? Look, I was one that fully believed that it was better, and it still could be, right? Like, we have to wait over time to really conclude, but I was one that thought, oh, okay, you make kids come back. They got a program. They can see each other. They can socialize. I didn't expect nobody to get COVID, but some of the numbers you get from different programs, I'm kind of like, whoa, Texas, what's going on there? Clemson, hey, hello. it's always been uncomfortable to know that you're like knowingly giving non-paid athletes COVID because it benefits you financially. So I think he's making a good point. I just had already concluded that we reached that point by making football practices, sure, or workout sessions happen again.
Sure. And I think the argument that you've heard from conferences, and Larry Scott has said this, and I think other commissioners have as well, is essentially they're not willing to cancel or postpone anything until they give it a shot. And I don't think they view what they've done so far as giving it a legitimate shot.
Mm.
And I think they view, because July 13th, which I believe is next Monday, is when things can start to ramp up practice-wise. And then I want to say the 24th of July is when, like, that six-week window kicks in to getting ready of actually practicing and scrimmaging and getting ready for week zero to actually go play football.
Right now, ball's almost there.
Right now, guys are just, you're working out, you're conditioning, you're lifting weights. That's all it is at this point. And I think that's been their argument, is they're not going to make any decisions until they see first how things go after July 13th and can they keep it out of the locker rooms. And then if you get to July 24th and things are still okay, can you practice for a couple of weeks and maintain? And then at that point, maybe they're willing to play the season. But I think that's been their sentiment, is we're not pulling the plug until we see how this goes over the next couple of weeks. And I don't know. It might be smart, and it might be really, really dumb. I don't know the answer to that, but I think that's their stance.
Well, I think, like, Notre Dame test results were encouraging, right?
Right. They have zero players.
They've had zero positive tests in all the testing they've done. So that's really encouraging news. I think it's, you know, you keep going and you can see. Look, Larry Scott is not perfect. Nobody on this show would advocate for him. We've long talked about how the conference, it's not just him. It's the presidents that basically put him in power and keep him there. It's not all his fault, right? The presidents have the options to do this and get out of it. I kind of find him a bit refreshing during this, because he's kind of been one of the commissioners that has gone out and said he hasn't been, you know, definite in the, we're going to have a season, it's happening, don't, you know, get on board. He hasn't been willing or wanting to move on without programs. You remember, like, we talked James Franklin or Gene Smith or other individuals from different conferences. They'll play conference seasons knowing that they don't have four or five teams. They don't give a bleep.
Right.
Larry Scott has come out publicly and explained that, look, we want to do this and we want to do it together. Make sure everybody is kind of on, you know, level ground here, dealing with the same circumstance. So in that regard, I think he's handled it properly. But for the most part, I think you give this a couple weeks, like you said, with the timeline. The tough thing is going to be if they get into very early August without having a decision to be made. What does that do for teams in readiness and being able to go out and play games and have chemistry and identify the right quarterback as their starter? I think there's a lot that goes into it. So even if you do dive in and have fall football, great. Is it going to be a good product? You know what I mean? Like, is there an element of all this delay before we make a decision, where then football season happens and quarterbacks at different programs all throughout the country are not in, you know, not ready to play or severely out of shape? I think you get to that point where you start to wonder aloud, it's good to have football back. What do we do if it actually dampens, hurts the product?
Yeah, if it gets to the point where you have chunks of a roster that are testing positive and can't play,
yes.
And what happens if teams then have to cancel games because they can't field a healthy full team, right?
What happens if your quarterbacks all get COVID? Right. Do you start a defensive back, a wide receiver, or running back?
You wouldn't have any other option. That's what you would have to do.
And it could be a weird year.
And talk about asterisk being put on a season.
Yeah, you could have a three-loss team somehow end up in the playoff. That's what you're dealing with.
And that's why, I mean, my sense on this has always been, and I will readily admit that it's not the right answer. There are no right answers here because nobody knows what it's going to look like in 6 months and 8 months and 2 months and 3 months. Nobody knows what the situation, how it's going to unfold. My two cents on this has always been, I would love to see them follow the Ivy League's route of postponing the season. It comes with its own set of problems of the draft, of how you're going to miss out on spring ball. You might finish too close to next fall, you know, getting fall camp underway, right, if you go all the way till June. It by no means is a easy thing or an easy solution. My sense has always been, if you're able to postpone it, one, it gives yourself a lot more time, and we're not having to make these decisions in the next 2 or 3 weeks about if we're having a season. It gives you the benefit of further understanding the virus and the health implications that it could mean for 18 to 22-year-olds and the long-term health risks that might come from getting it. And we get away from this BS that everybody that's young gets it and they're perfectly fine and healthy. 99% of people are totally fine. Like, that's just not true in any way, shape, or form. So it gives us more time to understand that. And if you want to go for the moonshot hopeful stance, it gives you the window of potentially playing a season and starting a season after a vaccine has hit the market. And I'm all for pushing it back a little bit. You're going to have a season this year because you need the financials for it. But if you're going to have a shortened conference-only, weird COVID-affected season in the fall, there's no difference for me to having that same exact season in the spring, and at least you have a better understanding and a better chance to finish it, in my mind.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think schools are going to just have to weigh their options and say, how much money do we lose or put on the table by delaying versus how much money do we get without fans? Because there is maybe Florida, maybe Texas, depending on where they're at. How many states are really even going to allow fans to go to games?
Right.
There's only so many of those states that are willing to do it.
And a lot of those states have shifted their stance. That was like 2 months ago, and they're like, yeah, we'll pack the whole stadium. A lot of them are now restricting things that are going on in their state, and I think their stances have changed.
Again, that speaks to leadership.
Right.
But I think if you're playing the game, fine. You want to get TV revenue, but what if you don't have gate money? You don't have merch money. You don't have food, alcohol, beverage purchased money. Are you really making anything? And that's kind of what I wonder. And I also wonder how much of that goes into determining what they want to do, whether that's fall or punt.
Pun intended.
Ew. Or go to the spring.
Yeah, hopefully maybe some things are different in the spring.
If you could even
trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, or even go like February. Because your season's largely just 3 months. Then you get bowl games. So you go February, March, April.
Yeah, you wrap it up in early May.
Wrap it up in very early May. You still give yourself a chance to give people enough time to have time off. And then you get back into your football. And you just say, look, we couldn't have spring football. And all that is really glorified practice and time for freshmen anyway.
Right,
so.
And you can even bring the freshmen on and have them be a part of the roster if they want to enroll early for the guys that are coming into the class of 2021. One last note on this in terms of just fall sports and what's going on. We don't have to dive too much into it because we don't follow it too closely, but I wouldn't be surprised if a similar decision is coming in Oregon. The start of high school sports in Washington has been delayed by at least 2 weeks. The first day of practice for football will be September 5th, which is 2 days later for other fall sports. So I just wanted to point that out.
I'd Washington, be stunned if Oregon wasn't
Oregon's
close
Oregon's coming
behind.
On the pipeline, man. Just wait for it. But Washington announced that today. Their athletic programs are going to be starting 2 weeks later. I don't know how much that helps you. It gives you 2 more weeks, I guess. But we'll see if anything else comes down the pipeline from them. And we'll let you know when we hear something on Oregon. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Beaverton, Aloha Division, all back up and running. They got deals going on through July 14th. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of their locations. Lots to get to in the final hour. Stat or story. We got some fun stories about stolen cars and poop stains, but we'll start with Stuart Mandel. He's a national college football writer. Timely to have him on. His thoughts on everything that's going on, the Big Ten, the Ivy League, what's happening in the Pac-12. Stuart Mandel kicks off the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.